This is KWMR, Point Reyes Station.
KWMR is supported by our listener members and by the Maritime Radio Historical Society. Online at radiomarine.org. That's radio, MARINE.ORG.
If anybody out there in the audience would like to appear as a guest on Poetry Now or to offer a favorite poem of yours, or to come and read your own poetry on Poetry Now at 10 a.m. every Wednesday, then you can contact program@kwmr.org. Jeffrey Manson, the program director, will get in touch with me, and I'll get in touch with you, and we'll have more poets like this wonderful poet I have before me, Ed, down in Sarasota, Florida. How's it going, Ed?
Going great, man. Well, to start with, one of the things I'll be reading will kind of explain some of that, I think. But as far as my stuff, how I got involved with poetry.
Oops, we just lost you, Ed.
You lost me again?
There you go. Now you're on.
Oh, okay. As far as, you know, how I got involved with poetry, you know, I should preface that by saying that you are putting out some very great creative vibe with this show.
Oh, thank
and
you.
It's going out, and it's going out there in the airwaves, so it'll be around somewhere for a long time. We hope.
Yes.
So anyway, I got involved with poetry when I was in Vietnam. I met a guy named Dave. I won't say his last name just because I haven't asked him if I could. I got involved with him. I would have never probably written a word had it not been for his influence. So I'm grateful for that. I wasn't grateful for the war, as you'll find out also. But, you know, my writing is, you know, influenced by my wife, Cindy, and our children, and now my grandchildren. It's just like they inspire. Oh, you know, and other things come from that. So,
well,
as far as you and I, you know, we got separated for a long time, but I'm very, very happy that this we've hooked up again over the last 4 or 5 years.
Yes, it's really been a really wonderful treat for me. And while we're doing that, I don't see why it would be any better time than to have you read one of your poems.
Yeah, I should also say, Gene, I was, and you know this, obviously, but folks don't. I was injured in an automobile accident when I was 32 years old, I guess, and I've used a wheelchair ever since. So I think, well, maybe I'll start with is kind of a it's a short one. It's called "When the Tracks Are Gone," and it's about the stereotypes that people with disabilities get funneled into. You know, they and then they live that. So I'll just go right to it. It's called "When the Tracks Are Gone." How do they remember to grow straight? Those oiled trees that blink by while you and I, dull to the changing sky, ride the same invisible tracks. Word is they're being tore up. The tracks led to dirt wandering. The rails forgot the way. The same places have new names. We've been parallel too long, never able to travel left or right. Eyes shaped through the gaps in the boxcar, the last of the wheelchair hobos, squinting at the wildflowers. That's when the tracks are gone.
That's a powerful poem, and it's so powerful. I love it that it ends with wildflowers. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Break out of that box is the message. You know,
yes,
don't let them keep you there. And don't let circumstance keep you there either.
And I think we should just keep moving on, since it is poetry now.
And it is.
I think that we'll have some more poetry of Ed's, and he's going to be reading, I believe, from Awake. Is that on our schedule? Is that how it is?
Awake, yeah, Awake is on our schedule, yes. That was before, I wrote this before Woke became a silly something. This is just called Awake. It's part one and part two. This one's a bit longer. Awake, part one. I was born at sunrise, a shiny mother's son. Put my shoes on backwards and learned how to run. Walked into midnight, felt a freeze in my veins. Sat waiting on the doorstep. Dad's tomorrow never came. You see, I'm on a sacred journey I will never understand. The inside of my eye is a universe expanse. My right foot's been wrong before as my heel hit the floor. Muddle doesn't know how to care. Standing on my thumb, old drunken Highway 51, looking for some distance somewhere. Frightened and besieged, too soft for comfort, too hard to relieve. Stabbed with loss and confusion, a scarecrow was staring at my fear. A bar on every corner, a thief begging for the cure. Numbness too often lied to be heard. Lurking in a man's charade, my war number was pulled from an old white man's grenade.
Left my wife and 14-day-old daughter almost as brave as a coward.
I flew 9,000 miles to the zone. Saw our flag shrouding boxes of our youth going home. Mothers, fathers, wives, children, family, friends, and love. All there crying. It took me a year to say no to LBJ. Put a flower in my muzzle and left my naivete to die in the jungle. Too fast to remain so slow. This is part two. Home with my rhymes lost and angry, I wore my jungle hat like a green badge of discouraged. Wondering about America the deceitful. 58,220 dead. 300,000 wounded. Average age, 22. But the just owing and love responsibility slapped me awake. I learned Windsor knots and wingtip shoes and marched off this time to buy the greenback dream. A newly lit cigar and a proud, blissful strut was buried with the weight no person could lift on that impossible day. Staring across the field was a scarecrow crying. We left for the big shoulder city. It blew fresh wind into our hearts, smog into my face. Pearl number three arrived to join mom and her sis. New life was buzzing in the spaces we miss.
Thank you so much. Whoops. Ed, thank you so much for that. I forgot to turn my volume up. I was so deep into what you were reading and what you had written and what you experienced. I was one of the persons who failed the physical to be drafted. I was drafted. I was in Santa Barbara. I took a bus down to Los Angeles and failed my physical. And I often tried to participate in different political events that were trying to suggest to end the war and such. And little did I know at that time that you were actually over there. For how long?
1 year.
1 year. Mm-hmm. And I'm just... I've read this poem before, obviously, and I listen to you now, and it just brings back those memories of if I could just quickly mention Jim Bump, a friend of ours at school, and I went to visit him at the Naval Hospital in the Great Lakes Naval Hospital in Chicago. He was injured, paralyzed as well, and was incredibly positive when we were visiting him there in his bed, looking at ships in Lake Michigan that had thousands of other American warriors who were waiting to get a bed in the hospital. Is there anything else you want to say about that, Ed, the poem or your experience there?
Yeah, I want to make it clear I was not injured there. I was injured in an automobile accident after I got back. So, yes, I visited Jim as well, and it was a sad state of affairs.
Yeah.
And after I got injured, he was one of the first people who called me on the phone.
Really? You
know? Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful. Great. Yeah.
Yeah. He said, "Is this Eddie Hopper?" I'm going, and I knew who it was.
Oh, I love it. Yes, it's. Oh my goodness! I wonder, was he joking about Dennis Hopper as opposed to Hooper?
No, I don't think so. I think that's I think he was just lightening it up. You know,
right.
Yeah, I think. I don't know. That's what I'm going with anyway.
No, I think it's wonderful because that was our experience. Mike Brennan, yeah, bless his soul, myself, and I'm not sure who else we drove up, and it was a very powerful experience.